Lightning. Come on.
We believe that that violates the Florida civil rights laws, but if to the extent it doesn't, we're going to make sure that the law does include this into these laws so that, employees have an ability to protect themselves against this kind of, really, which is harassment.
The governor, when he was making the announcement about critical race theory and the legislative push that he's calling the Stop Woke Act, what I would call the most ungrammatical acronym title in history, that he wants to allow people to be able to sue against their school district if they feel that CRT is being taught there and recoup lawyers' fees if they win. Also, the people in the workplace would be free from being indoctrinated in critical race theory and have some kind of recourse to prevent this as a form of workplace discrimination. 640 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Yesterday had a really good time at the chamber luncheon on legislative policy with Representatives Andrade and Salzman, and Representative for Senator Broxson, Janice Gilley, was there. One of the people, as I just mentioned, who was there, Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, joins us now by phone. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, and thanks for that intro song. I was doing my MC Hammer dance while it was going on.
That's a hint back to yesterday's event where I asked all three whether they could. This was a suggestion from the audience. Somebody asked, jokingly, I think, they meant, you know, can they do the MC Hammer dance? And I thought that was a great way to end. And turns out everybody said that they could, although Janice was a little uncertain whether she could vouch for Senator Broxson on the matter. Okay, so, look. You know me, you and I both agree, critical race theory is ridiculous, anti-American. The question is, how big of a problem is it? And my concern with this Stop Woke Act, number one, is it's fighting against a thing that's not a problem, not really. And number two, the empowering of the angriest parent to sue the school district because of some perceived teaching of critical race theory in a textbook, I think it's just going to put endless lawsuits on the plate of the school districts. What, I mean, help me understand, am I missing something here?
So no, that's a really good place to start. First, the question about if it's actually a problem or not. So, I'm constantly like, you know, it gets brought to me from opponents of things like this. One of two arguments. The first is, well, you know, why are you worried about CRT? It's not being taught in like the Escambia or Santa Rosa County schools. And my response normally is, well, if it's not being taught in Escambia or Santa Rosa County schools, and I would agree with you, I haven't seen it being taught in Escambia or Santa Rosa County schools, why do either of us care? And then the second argument is, you know, well, does that mean we're not going to teach about Martin Luther King Jr.? I was like, well, no. You don't think I know what CRT is, so why do you think that CRT is analogous to history? It's not. So please, if you think CRT is analogous to history, please explain to me your concept of CRT, because CRT is not the teaching of history.
Well,
we have history classes for that very reason.
Well, okay, but totally agreed, of course. In fact, I spent the whole day yesterday explaining the difference between good teaching about racism in history and bad teaching about critical race theory. But I think the concern is school districts don't want to be sued. When they are worried they might be sued, they just shut down. They internalize that we shouldn't talk about this. My worry is that they will feel less, they will feel scared to talk even about just ordinary race matters out of a fear they're going to get sued for teaching critical race theory.
And there are legal protections that we put in place to address concerns like that. But the big issue is about kind of enforcement or disregarding what the legislature is doing. So, you know, we can say a school district has to put their you know, sexual education teaching materials online so parents can review them into law, into statute. But if we have no enforcement hooks, right, if we have no, you know, triggering components to say certain funding's going to get pulled, there are a lot of school districts around the state that don't agree philosophically with the Florida legislature, even though we, you know, they're authorized by statutes we create. They will just disregard those types of laws, right? So figuring out the right enforcement mechanism is something that, as we work on this bill, this upcoming session, it's going to be the question. But one method of enforcement is creating the private cause of action.
And I guess that's where I also, you know, run afoul, because I start thinking of, obviously this seems sort of similar to the pattern we saw out of Texas with regards to the abortion issue, but also just that capability of putting it into the, basically the hands of the most aggrieved person, which I don't think is necessarily the best source of figuring out what's really going on in the schools. But you know, I'm waiting for the details. Obviously, he's made his proposal, and then you guys are going to tinker with it heavily during the legislative process. So, you know, we'll look to see how it develops over time, I suppose. Another one that came up yesterday, and I know I've talked about this briefly on the show. I thought this was a fascinating law when it was proposed. This is the proposed law that would allow companies to sue municipalities that pass new ordinances which reduce their profit or revenue. I think both are in the legislation, if I remember correctly, by 15%, that they could basically sue for a taking through legislative action. Do I understand the law right, and what do you think about this?
So I haven't looked at it too in depth. I've only had one constituent out of the 1,000 inquiries I get every week on bills ask me about this policy specifically. What I would say is it's probably not fully fleshed out yet, simply because, you know, when gas stations were selling tobacco to 15-year-olds in the 50s, we all probably agreed that at some point when we realized how dangerous tobacco was, that wasn't a good idea. And I'm going to assume that there were some municipalities that were some of the first people to go impose some of those ordinances. So I think figuring out tweaks like that, because, you know, sometimes a good law, a good ordinance that is, you know, put into place is going to result in less profits for a business, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it shouldn't be implemented for the public good. And the question is, should a city have to go pay for that difference in revenue that a company might lose if they do ban, you know, or do something that would reduce their income? So it's a good idea in theory. You know, it's very similar to, you know, tort law overall, but
right.
I'm not sure exactly where it'll come out in the wash as we kind of look at it and think about different scenarios.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to prevent legislatures from doing dumb things that hurt people's ability to make a profit based on their expectation of revenue from an investment. I completely agree with that. What concerns me is all of the other ways in which this might play out, including fraudulent claims and, well, my business practices were just dumb, but I can maybe make it seem like it came from... I mean, there are all kinds of nuance to this, so I'm glad I hear that in your answer that... idea may be fine, but the practicalities and how it particularly works out, that's going to need a little bit of work. Last question for you, and I know this isn't exactly within your purview, but it's the kind of thing that maybe you could have some influence on, and mostly I just wanted to get, I wanted to bring to your awareness. We thought 2 years ago, because you're a transportation guy, every year you run the transportation bill in the House, this is your background, your expertise. A couple of years ago, public pushed back enormously against the prospect of putting a toll in on I-10 to build the new bayway between Spanish Fort and Mobile. We thought we killed the project. It was dead. $6 each way, no way. Now they're bringing it back. They've proposed again to resurrect the toll as an idea at $2.50 per cars and $10 to $15 for trucks. I know it's not in Florida, but it is an interstate. Is there anything we can do about this?
So I'd have to go and like triple confirm, but my understanding is that, you know, if it's a federally funded highway, unless you're increasing capacity,
they are
like adding lanes.
They are adding lanes. They're going from four. They're going from two each way to three each way.
I'm still not 100% sure that you can put a toll on the two existing lanes. I'd have to go double check in that circumstance. If they're adding a third lane onto a two-lane highway, whether or not they can add a toll to all three lanes. You know, in South Florida, they have kind of those fast pass type lanes where you can kind of pay an extra fee to bypass the traffic. You know, but my understanding was that you could only do that, and some of those lanes had to remain toll-free if they were existing lanes that were already paid for. Because, I mean, the whole concept of tolls is obviously to finance new construction and new roads. So, the question is whether or not they can, you know, put it on those two existing lanes. I'd have to go back and confirm whether or not the federal Department of Transportation would even approve that. But no, I think putting tolls on existing lanes is a ridiculous concept and it's irresponsible. Those roads are already paid for. So what exactly is that toll going to go to?
Yeah, I know. I mean, agreed. that's part of the challenge. Well, Alex, see whatever you can do. Obviously, again, this has just cropped up, and it's going to directly adversely affect people who work in Mobile and or who work in Mobile but live in Pensacola, or who work in Pensacola but live in Mobile, and sort of the rest of the interstate traffic as well. Representative Alex Andrade, thanks so much for the time, sir. As always, and by the way, Merry Christmas. I'll be off next Friday and then New Year's Eve, so we won't talk to you again until the New Year. But thanks for always being available, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Adrian. Merry Christmas.